Well, I want to welcome Jeff James to our worship service this morning. We are so glad that he has come. He is the executive director of Restore Hope. Jeff reminds me that he's been providing leadership going on 13 years now at Restore Hope. Under Jeff's leadership, the ministry of Restore Hope has continued, and it has a tremendous impact in our community. He has a great relationship with churches all across our community and our state. He's had a great relationship with us as well. He is married to Adrian. They have two sons, Will and Ben, and we always look forward to Jeff's message among us. Would you welcome with me Reverend Jeff James?
Thank you, Bob. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and Bob said earlier, if you're a guest, I hope you have a good time today. If you don't, just blame the preacher. And come back next week and hear good sermons from Bob and others. I really am glad to be back. This is kind of a day that I circle on my calendar every year to come that last Sunday in July. And so, usually Bob is on vacation and has a chance to go. And so he has no idea how bad my preaching is. But today he's here, and so I'm a little bit, it's daunting. No, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Bob, for the opportunity to be here. And I just want to say thank you to this church. Again, if you're a guest, you need to know that the people of this church are engaged in mission. Just this week, many members of the church were at Restore Hope helping pack up school supplies, and they'll be back in the next couple of weeks to help distribute them. And this is a church that gives and works in our community. And so I'm just so thankful for this place and thankful for the opportunity to be here. I want to go ahead and go into scripture because we've got a lot to talk about today, including this amazing graphic. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But I want to hear the word of God first before we dive into my ridiculousness. And so if you'll actually stand again, I know we've been doing a lot of sitting and standing. Everybody needs morning exercises anyway. So stand for the hearing of the gospel. This comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to do 31 through 33, and then we're going to skip ahead to do some more. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes out and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. And thanks to the folks up doing the slides. I did not give them the heads up that I was going to do that. And so that's really amazing on the fly work. So nicely done, team. So what would you do for a Klondike bar? Raise your hand if you know what a Klondike bar is. Yeah, lots of hands. For those of you who don't, it actually has nothing to do with the Klondike. It's actually Swiss amazing ice cream from Swiss dairy cows. At least it started out that way. Covered in Swiss milk chocolate. And a little over 40 years ago, they had an ad campaign. What would you do for a Klondike bar? That's the only singing I'm going to do. And the choir is very grateful. What would you do for a Klondike bar? And people clucked like chickens for a Klondike bar in commercials, aired nationally. They barked like a dog. Would you do that? Would you cluck like a chicken for a Klondike bar? Yes? Yeah? So I saw they recently updated this. Have you seen the commercial where the guy shaves an eyebrow for a Klondike bar? On their website, they have a Hall of Fame. You can see all the videos of what people would do for a Klondike bar. Literally jumping through hoops for an ice cream bar. They're asking now, what would your town do for a Klondike bar block party? All of this for an ice cream sandwich. So what if we up the ante a little bit? What if we said, okay, what about $10,000? Let's get out of this ice cream sandwich business, ice cream treat. Let's talk about some money. $10,000, $100,000, $500,000, or a new Lamborghini. What would you do for that? Well, there's a guy on YouTube who's asking that very question. I'm going to get a lot fewer hands, I think, on this one. How many of you have heard of Mr. Beast? A few hands. I think I'll probably get some more in the second service. So, Mr. Beast is one of the most famous people on the planet, actually. He has videos on YouTube that get millions of views every single time he puts them out. And they're crazy videos. Would you sit in a pit of snakes for $10,000? Would you be the one to be the last one riding on a roller coaster for $20,000? That's a lot of times on a roller coaster. Would you leave your hand on a Lamborghini so that if you're the last one to have your hand on that car, you win a brand new green Lamborghini? And people do it. All the time, people will risk life and limb and fall to the ground after, probably hours, days of putting their hand on a car for money or stuff. Surely, for the kingdom of God, we would do these kinds of things, right? If we're willing to bark like a dog and cluck like a chicken for ice cream, if we're willing to risk life and limb for a Lamborghini, surely we would give more for the kingdom of God, right? Right? Let's be real for a second. You all probably know the statistics as well as I do. The number of people who are willing to commit to an hour of time on Sunday mornings every Sunday is going down. Not to mention the people who will come on a Wednesday night to put school supply boxes together at another different place altogether. Or, you want me to give 10%, Bob? That's more than sales tax. Seriously? 10%? For prayer, isn't God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, isn't that all we need? Come on. And whatever you do, don't make me tell my friends I go to church. I'll bark like a dog or cluck like a chicken for ice cream, but tell my friends I go to church? Right? Sorry, I know it's early in the morning, but it's the truth. Far too many times. What are we willing to do for the kingdom of God? What is that worth to us? We get this barrage of parables in Matthew 13 that tell us what the kingdom of God is worth. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that when planted in the field becomes a shrub and then grows into a tree and becomes the largest of trees, even having room for birds in its branches. The kingdom of God is like a woman who finds some leaven and puts it in three giant bags of flour so that it can leaven the dough. By the way, that's about 50 pounds of flour. That's a lot of dough. As I was thinking about that dough, I was reminded, I heard a story this week about a bakery in Turkey. They make bread, right? And they sell the bread. And some people, when they buy the bread, they make extra donations so that the bakery can make extra loaves to give out to people who are still in need after the earthquake in Turkey last year. That sounds like the kingdom, doesn't it? A little bit of extra dough goes a long way. Or the kingdom is like a field. And you heard the parable. This guy is apparently walking through a field that he doesn't own. Clearly no trespassing signs there. Finds a treasure. I can imagine like this treasure chest in the field, right? He finds the treasure. What does he do with it? He hides it again. And then goes home and sells everything he has to just buy the field. Doesn't take the treasure. He buys the whole stinking field. Or the kingdom of God is like a merchant who's looking for the fine pearl. And when he finds that pearl of great value, sells everything he has to own that pearl. That's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what the kingdom of God is worth. It's worth everything. It may seem small, but it's the most powerful thing in the world. As I thought about that, I thought about other stories in the Bible of people who understood what the value of the kingdom was and what that meant for their life. And I thought about, now there are a ton of examples, right? But I thought about this guy, Josiah. And I say this guy, Josiah, he was king of Judah. But he was 8 when he started. He started as just a young kid as king, but he wanted to do what was right in the sight of the Lord. And the 2 Kings 22 says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But not everybody at that time was doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. There were altars to other gods, and there were priests to those gods. And the people in Judah had just kind of gone astray. Not kind of. They had gone astray from what God wanted for them to do. And the high priest at that time came to Josiah, and he said, Josiah, I found something that has been lost, something of great value. Sounds like a treasure, doesn't it? And it was a treasure. It was the book of the law. And Josiah, well, hang on, before I go further, think about that. The book of the law, the Torah, is one of the most important things in Jewish life, in Jewish culture. It is the treasure. When a Torah is too old, it is buried with burial rites, like a person. It's treated with extreme value. That's treasure. But think about what it means that it was lost. That the book of the law was lost. No wonder there were all of the other bad stuff happening, right? No wonder that it was gone. So Josiah has the book read to him. And when he hears what is true and he knows what's happening in his kingdom, he tears his clothes in grief. But he doesn't stop there. He starts to change things in Judah. He goes and tears down all of the altars. He gets rid of all of the priests. He turns the kingdom of Judah back to God. He made a commitment, a covenant with God to seek after God first and to follow God. And later in 2 Kings, in 2 Kings 23, 25, it says there was no king who turned to God like Josiah, either before or after. That includes David. Josiah flipped his whole life around and his whole kingdom around because he knew the power of God's kingdom. But Jeff, that's in the Old Testament. Come on, man. Let's get a little bit newer here. 2 Kings is a long way back in here. Okay, let's talk about Zacchaeus. How many of you know about Zacchaeus? Tell me something you know about Zacchaeus. He was short. He was short. Anything else? He climbed a tree. Okay, everybody knows that he was short and that he climbed a tree. Did you know And I'm sorry about this, Bob, but did you know that Zacchaeus had a big butt? Come on, get your heads out of the gutter. I'm not talking about that kind of butt. It's butt with one T. So Zacchaeus was a wealthy guy. In addition to being short, in addition to climbing the tree, he was a wealthy guy. He was a tax collector, so not exactly beloved. And Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming to town, so he climbs the tree. He was short. He climbs the tree, and he looks out, and Jesus catches him, right? Jesus sees him. And Jesus says, "Today I'm coming to your house for dinner." And the people are all grumbling. Really? That guy? Does Jesus know who he is? Has Jesus lost his mind? Doesn't he know who Zacchaeus is? But you see, Jesus could see Zacchaeus' big butt. It's right there in Luke. Let's put it on the screen for everybody. This is the NIV version of this. And I want everybody to see Zacchaeus' big butt. Let's see if it comes up here. Maybe. Not there. Okay. Well, my version is not the New International Version, so it's not going to say it exactly the same way. There it is. Look at that. Right there. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus might have been wealthy, might have been a bad guy, might have been a tax collector, might have been short, might have climbed a tree. But he changed his whole life around, was willing to give everything just to have dinner with Jesus. And Jesus says later, "Today salvation has come to this house." Zacchaeus knew that he had found the treasure in the field. He had found the pearl of great price. And the tree of Jesus' kingdom even had room for a dirty little bird like Zacchaeus. And it had room for Howard Waugh, too. How many of you know that name, Howard Waugh? I'm guessing maybe, no. So Howard Waugh was an amazing man. I did not know the treasure that he was, even when I first met him. Howard Waugh is a true hero, but he was also, his field, the treasure that he was in, the field that he was in was the football field. Howard Waugh was the running back for the University of Tulsa in the early 1950s. And in 1952, Howard Waugh led the entire nation in rushing, outrushing the Heisman Trophy winner that year. And Howard Waugh was such a good running back that he was drafted into the NFL. He was a sixth-round draft pick by the Los Angeles Rams, but he never signed the contract. You know why? Because at the NFL, the National Football League, played their games on Sundays. And Howard Waugh, that was his Sabbath. So he refused to sign a contract with somebody that would make him work for that contract on Sundays. Can you imagine that? Instead, he went up to Canada to the Canadian Football League that played on Saturdays. And he was the first ever running back in that league to break 1,000 yards in a season rushing. He had an amazing all-star career in the CFL because they played on Saturdays. He left that to form an amazing career in business, but he left that too so that he could become the construction supervisor at Habitat for Humanity right here in Tulsa, building hundreds of homes for families in need. That seed of faith that was planted in Howard Waugh ultimately provided shelter for hundreds of people in our community. We get to hear stories like that at Restore Hope all the time. One of our big endowment funds was given by a school teacher who nobody knew had any money. But she gave that gift, and every year thousands of dollars come as a part of that gift for us to help families in need. Or the woman in 1990 who gave a $300 check to Restore Hope for school supplies. She said, I was the only kid in class who didn't have the supplies that I needed. I don't want anybody else to feel that embarrassment ever again. And that $300 check has turned into a massive program that will help hundreds of Tulsa kids just in the next couple of weeks. Our budget line item for that is now $15,000 every year, and that doesn't count all of the in-kind gifts that we will receive for that program. That $300 seed has turned into thousands of kids getting the school supplies they need to thrive. So friends, I'm going to ask it again. What would you do for the kingdom of God? What is it worth to you? Jesus talked about the kingdom more than anything else, and it's not close. For Jesus, the kingdom is the finish line of the race and the reason we start running. It's why we live, move, and have our being. It is our salvation. It is our hope. It is the promise of a better day to come. What is that promise worth to us? What would we do for that promise? And please hear me. I'm not telling you that you all have to go quit your jobs and give it all up. Although some of you might. But what we've learned from these parables is that small things are powerful too. It's the daily decisions of discipleship that lead us toward the kingdom. It's deciding every day if we're going to put God first, like Josiah and Howard Waugh. It's asking, is it worth giving up our things like Zacchaeus and the woman who was a school supply donor? It's choosing every day who we will serve. Are we all in for the king? When I was growing up, what would Jesus do was the big thing. I know what Jesus would do for us. The question is, what would we do for Jesus? Are we willing to give to Jesus, to serve Jesus? Are we willing to put him first? What would it be like if you asked yourself that question every day? What will I do for Jesus? What will I do for the kingdom today? So let's start today. Let's plant that seed. And friends, I know we'll watch the kingdom grow. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for this kingdom that knows no end, this kingdom that drives us, this kingdom that guides us, this kingdom that calls us to you. God, I pray that we would seek your kingdom first and its righteousness, and that we would serve you and put you first too. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.